A few months ago, there were two tragic pieces of news. The first bad news was that someone was selling the Eucharist online. So this is a screenshot, and it says, "Real Catholic hosts, consecrated by a priest, 9 pieces, made in Germany, black mass, magic, Satanism." Okay, so brothers and sisters and beloved guests, if you don't know, a black mass is done by people who worship the devil, and it's done to worship the devil and to mock the Catholic mass. That's why it's called a black mass. The seller alleges that he was given these 9 hosts by a Catholic priest who himself is supposed to be in the satanic underground. That's not verified, but it wouldn't surprise me because the Catholic Church right now in Germany is beyond a mess. The bishops themselves, they advocate practices against church teaching. And there was a survey that found 54% of priests go to confession once a year.
What?
And only 58% of priests report praying every day. That's like having a hockey team where only half of your players skate. Number 2, second bad piece of news. In Santiago, Chile, the new archbishop, he denied Holy Communion to some Catholics, believe it or not, because they were kneeling. Because they were kneeling. We can't read his mind, but we know this kind of thing has happened throughout the world before. The various reasons given are that some priests think, well, we should all maintain the same posture, that of standing. Maybe they're afraid that some Catholics feel they'll be more holy or superior to others if they kneel. But church discipline says you can't deny someone Holy Communion just because they're kneeling. And Father Raymond D'Souza, this astute Canadian commentator, he makes a great observation about this incident. He says this: when the church becomes accustomed to putting other priorities ahead of the Eucharist, she becomes capable of manifold sins. So he quotes Pope Benedict saying there's a connection between the sexual abuse crisis and the neglecting of important spiritualities. If Catholics keep on neglecting the most important things, there's going to be a lot of problems in the church. So here's the message from these two tragic incidents. The culture of Catholics, especially with regard to the Eucharist, it's going to affect everything else. How we treat the Eucharist, it's going to impact positively or negatively everything else we do. When I was in Germany in 2005 for World Youth Day, I was a deacon. So I was Deacon Justin at the time. And so I received communion on the hand. And then I made sure I got all the crumbs off my hand because Jesus is present in the crumbs too, correct? So I go like that. And so after Mass, this woman comes up to me and she's mad at me. She says, "Well, why don't you just let it fall to the ground?" And so we had this long, oh, could you believe that? Just let it fall to the ground. So if bishops in Germany and across the world, if they're trying to change official church teaching, if lay Catholics treat the Eucharist casually, bishops deny communion because people are kneeling, you've got a bad culture. And then you've got a dying church. Today's gospel, it's referred to as the miracle of the multiplication of loaves, and it shows us a very healthy spiritual culture. For the early Christians, this event, the miracle of the multiplication of loaves, it's full of details, and it mirrors their own celebration of Mass. So I want to go through 6 key details. Number 1, it says, when the crowds found out about Jesus withdrawing to Bethsaida, they followed him, and he welcomed them. So scholars note that the word for welcome here is the same word that just a chapter before, when the people welcomed Jesus. So now he's returning the favor. And in Acts of the Apostles, whenever the early church would welcome people, that's the word they use. So it refers to this importance of hospitality around Mass. Number 2, Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God. And then what happens after? He feeds them. So the early Christians knew that starts with the liturgy of the word at Mass and then the liturgy of the Eucharist. You feed people with God's word and then with the Eucharist. Number 3, who is the source of this miraculous food? Who's the source? You tell me. Can't hear you. Who's the source? You can be a bit more confident about it. It's Jesus, right? But you notice he uses other people to distribute it? He doesn't do it himself. Well, that represents the Mass, right? Jesus is the source of the Eucharist, but he uses priests to distribute it. Number four, when Jesus says, make the people sit down in groups of about 50 each. So scholars recognize, well, that's the number of people you could fit in people's homes. Because the early Christians, they didn't have churches, so they celebrated Mass in their homes, and you could fit about 50. Number five, it says, and taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. These four verbs are key. All theologians recognize whenever you have these four verbs in the scriptures together, you've got a Eucharist, you've got a Mass. And that's going to be key in other passages. And that's what happens at our Mass. So, when today, I don't know, who's bringing up the gifts? Okay, there. So when you bring up the gifts today, I will take them, put them on the altar, and then I will bless them. Then I will break the Eucharist, and then I'll give it back. Those four verbs again. Number six, what was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. The word for broken pieces here means fragments, and that's the same word that the early Christians used for the crumbs of the Eucharist. They were really careful about all the crumbs of the Eucharist, not like my German friend. Okay. The Mass was the center of life for the early Christians. I remember hearing that the early Christians, they would go to Mass every Sunday, of course, but they would go before dawn, before the sun would rise. Do you know why? Because at that point, you'd have to work on Sunday. In Roman times, there was no weekend. So they'd have to work on Sunday, but they want to go to Mass first, so they'd have to celebrate Mass before. So important to them. In the year 304, there was a group of Catholics in northern Africa. They were rounded up by the Roman soldiers. They were tortured because they were celebrating Mass, because it went against Emperor Diocletian's decree. So in one case, they've recorded this. The lector named Felix was tortured and interrogated. You know what a lector is? It's the reader. So imagine this happens to Adele or Maylene. So Felix was tortured, and this is the answer he gave when he was asked, why did you disobey the emperor's decree? He said, as if one could be a Christian without the Mass, or the Mass could be celebrated without a Christian. The Christian exists through the Mass, and the Mass in Christians. Neither can exist without the other. We celebrated the glorious assembly. We gathered to read the scriptures of the Lord at the Mass. The early Christians had such a healthy spiritual culture and was all centered on the Eucharist. It was so healthy that they grew by 40% every decade. That's wonderful. And I just want to show you a quick video about this Eucharistic culture that's existed throughout time.
Third century, Roman Empire. Tarsicius, a 12-year-old boy, living during the time of the Roman persecutions. Tarsicius was sent out with the Eucharist to give to Christians condemned to death. Along the way, he was stopped by a group of boys. They discovered he was Christian and became anxious to see what he was holding. Tarsicius refused. The gang became enraged, beating him so he would give up his holy mysteries. He never did. He was beaten to death. 1581, England. During the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, it was considered an act of treason to say the Mass. To make matters worse, there was a bounty on the head of any priest. Heedless of these conditions, Edmund Campion, an Englishman, seeing his countrymen deprived of the Holy Eucharist, traveled on foot and in secret to Rome to join the Jesuits. He was soon caught, imprisoned in the Tower of London, tortured, hanged, drawn, and quartered.